Okay, it's fine. It's time to finally do Tashbisu. We've talked about Tashbisu, and we've alluded to it, and we've hinted at it, but now we get to finally do it. And that's actually, as we'll see, one of the major issues we need to figure out. Is Tashbisu something that is only done at a specific time? Is it something that is potentially able to be done earlier? And that's going to connect to all kinds of questions as to what this mitzvah is. So that is what we have in front of us. So you got a chance to see a little bit the Gemara on the bottom of Dalet Amud Beis and Daf Hey, which tell us about debate back and forth as far as pinning down when exactly Tashbisu is, but we understand that there is a mitzvah of Tashbisu that is localized to the middle of the day on Erev Pesach. So there's a lot we need to figure out about this mitzvah. And I'll start off by asking you, so what would you say is on the agenda to figure out about Tashbisu as a investigative reporter? You hear there's this mitzvah of Tashbisu out there. What do you want to know? What is it that we think we need to figure out? Levi?
What is it?
What is it? Okay, but that itself to me.
That's all it is.
Okay.
You're like.
Okay, right. All right, so that's definitely question number one. What does it mean? What is it asking us to do? All right, so that is definitely a good question. What is Tashbisu? Any other questions that come to mind, Daniil?
We have to figure out when.
When, okay. So that which ostensibly is the subject of the Gemara that we saw, but I think you mean more than that when you say when, although maybe that is what you mean. Just, you know, when is the time Tashbisu, but is there more substance to the when, or is that
I mean, at what hour do we do it? Whether it could be done on Pesach, or if it has to be done before, what happens if you don't do it before, and then Pesach comes around?
Okay, so ready, when is a two-part question, right? So when is it ideally, and how absolute is that time? Is there something specifically at that time and that time only? And you brought up the question, could be done later. Of course, the question is also, can it be done earlier? Right? Is Tashbisu a deadline? Or is it something associated with a certain time specifically, which is going to be a major issue? Menachem?
Yeah, well, Chametz, is it a Friday, or who's Chametz, is it a Friday?
Okay. Now, the second question is specifically interesting. So what chametz, when you say, what chametz do you mean? Like, what type of chametz?
Or who's the owner of the chametz, really?
Okay, so that second part of the question, whose chametz is it? All right, so, because the first question is also an interesting question. We say that there is an obligation to destroy chametz. Is that identical or correlate completely to the prohibition to eat chametz? So any chametz that you can't eat, you have to destroy? Is that true? Or I shouldn't even say destroy yet, because Levi's question hasn't been answered. Any chametz that you can't eat is subject to hashbasa? Is that what that means? Or are there differences? Do they not correlate 100%? That's one question also that's interesting. But who has the mitzvah? And flesh that out a little bit, because that is an important question. So what possibilities do you anticipate when you say whose it is?
I mean, I was just saying, because it sounds like you could see, you can't see your own chametz, but you could see the chametz of others in a hekdesh. So how does that correlate towards the Tashbisu?
Okay, you're saying, we know that there are some distinctions we've heard about so far as to where Bayira, Bayimatze applies. So, how does Tashbisu tie into that? Okay.
Mm-hmm. But now I guess you could talk about, like, can a shliach, he's a shliach to Tashbisu.
Okay. All right, so that's itself an interesting question. Right? And there's dimension upon dimension in that. And then we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. But just to give a clue as to what kind of substance there is in that question, right? So you could really ask it on three levels, three possibilities. And it seems pretty straightforward that in an ideal world, Menachem Kravitz's mitzvah of Tashbisu requires him to do hashbasa, speak vaguely again, because that first question requires him to do hashbasa to Menachem's chametz. So that's probably the inescapable conclusion that that's the ideal. But well, that's where we start from. But is there any room for anything outside of that? So could Eli Levy end up destroying Menachem Kravitz's chametz? I should already, by destroying it already, it was too judgmental. We're ready to do hashpasa to his chametz. And if so, then there are at least two possibilities within that. Right? Because maybe the obligation is not exclusively Menachem's, it's just primarily or originally his, but maybe others have an obligation of hashpasa towards chametz overall. And also, maybe in between, maybe no, it really still is Menachem's obligation, but he can appoint a shliach to do it, the way you phrase the question. And when shlichus does and doesn't work, or when it is or isn't ideal, itself says something about a mitzvah. So therefore, that question is important both practically and conceptually. You know, practically, can you do that, if that's what you need to do? And also, what does it teach us about the mitzvah, even if you're not interested in doing that specifically? And that's something we saw pretty recently, because that was pretty much the last thing we considered in the context of bittul, right? The question of whether shlichus is effective even for bittul. And we saw that that was tied in strongly, or should have been tied in strongly, we thought it would be tied in strongly to what bittul is. Because not everything is susceptible to shlichus. So that becomes an important question also. Ari?
I mean, another question that has to tie into is, like, why? The why of the performance of Tashbisu? Is it indeed to prevent us from eating it, or is there inherent value in and of itself, you know, beyond just the concern of eating it, just to actually destroy or to engage in Tashbisu as coming?
Okay, so that certainly is going to be an important question. And that question is going to get a lot of attention from the later Svarim, maybe from the earlier Svarim, that is Tashbisu actually an independent mitzvah? Or is it essentially a positive formulation of something we already have? Right, is it a positive reinforcement of something else? Most likely, Bayura, Bayumatze, or as we'll also see, maybe Bayura, Bayumatze are finally going to have to split up. Maybe they shouldn't always be mentioned in the same breath. And maybe it relates to one or the other. Which, you know, the question we haven't actually explored the whole time, why do we have a pair for Bayura, Bayumatze? So we have seen, and we talked about this a little bit on day one, which is also why some of this will be a little familiar, but now we have the chance to tackle it head on. But what we saw on day one is that the stringency of chametz, in all of its different aspects, but the chumrah of chametz pushes us to have not just one iser. That it's not just that the Torah prohibits us to eat chametz, but we have a team here. We have a cluster of mitzvos that surrounds the prohibition of eating chametz. And like we mentioned on day one, some of them are mitzvos d'oraisa, some are mitzvos d'rabbanan, and some are both, depending on the circumstances. And some of them may be positive mitzvos, and some may be negative mitzvos. And the truth is, even more fundamentally, the two big mitzvos, perhaps, of Pesach, more than two even, but two of the big mitzvot of Pesach, matzah and chametz, are two halves of the same cracker, for lack of a better term, right? That we see that they're certainly connected already to each other, that the mitzvah to eat matzah and the isra to eat chametz are interlocked, and chametz has a surrounding ring of other mitzvos. So, is tashbisu a positive mitzvah that associates itself with chametz too? Or is it essentially the positive formulation of one or more of the existing mitzvos of Bayura, Bayimatze, and or Bayimatze, that essentially would translate to that the Torah is telling us don't have chametz, and what, you do have chametz? Well then, get rid of it. And that essentially it is a functional other side of that same din. Okay, that's already a good number of questions. Danielle, yeah?
Just explain the first side again.
The first side is that maybe there is a positive value to hashvasa, that maybe it's not only about being devoid of chametz, but for whatever reason, the Torah commanded us on Erev Pesach to do hashvasa to chametz. And it's not only because we're prohibited from having chametz. That's separate and apart from being in compliance with the prohibition to have chametz. We also have a positive mitzvah to do something, which is going to be a major possibility that's lurking in the background here throughout. So with that, let's try to address, at least superficially, some of these issues, and we'll see how they really all kind of interlock. So, first of all, let's start with Levi's question. First question first. It was the first question asked, and it is the most basic question, because how can we get any further without understanding what in the world Teshbisu means? So, how would we translate for practical purposes? Or maybe even just for literal purposes, even before practical purposes. Let's try literary. Dictionary definition. What does Teshbisu mean?
Put to rest.
Which is a great possible answer, because that itself has literal translations and euphemistic translations. Right? So what does that mean, put to rest? Like putting a dog to sleep? Or like giving somebody a nap, or deactivating. Right, the word itself, it's a great choice, I guess. It's too good of an answer, because it's an English word that itself maybe has all of those possibilities in it. So, yeah, Zach?
So, I read from Rav Rimon on his book on Shabbos,
mm-hmm.
where he says it's the break from the norm.
Okay, so that's very conceptual and philosophical, but you're highlighting already that there's very possibly a relationship between those words, and that's why you're mentioning it, that Shabbos, that we observe every week, is the same word, right, Tashbisu, and that helps for Ari's initial suggestion to put to rest, so we put ourselves to rest on Shabbos, but hopefully we don't put ourselves to sleep in this veterinary sense. So, is that a relevant term for chametz? Could be, but what would it mean, practically speaking, if that's what we mean by tashbisu in this context, what would that translate to practically?
Well, it's like you normally have chametz all over your house, and now you're not going to.
So, what does that mean? How would that, if the sentence means put chametz to rest? So it means like, it's like your nutritional coach, and let's give that a rest for a while. Let's let's give the candies a rest. Let's give those big coffees a rest.
I guess it would be that would be more like just make sure it's not in your house. So it'd be a little more. It sounds like more like the flip side of all drive line up.
Okay, that could be. Or it could mean more aggressively. It could mean destroy. So practically speaking, in terms of what it means. So this, we saw a little bit, and this is what kind of brought us into the sugya, although the Gemara then proceeded to discuss it more directly. Right, but we saw on Dalet Amud Beis, we already saw on the Daf, in Machlokas Rishonim, what it means. Right, so just to start off with, on the Daf, what are the views of the Rishonim on the Daf as to what Tashbisu means? So we saw first and foremost, perhaps, Rashi. Right, that Rashi was picking up on the language of Bittul that the Gemara has. And Rashi explained that Bittul is the Kiyum of Tashbisu. I don't remember if I asked you before, I should mention today, that if you look on the Pasuk, it's also consistent with Unklus. We mentioned that Unklus on the Pasuk, Tashbisu, translates Bittul as Tashbisu, Tashbisu as Bittul. And that was the language of Rashi. So just to refresh our memory, if you look at Rashi on Dalet Amud Beis, right, what did Rashi say with Bittul Ba'alma? Diksev Tashbisu, Velo Ksev Tivaru. Right, if you want to know what the mitzvah of Tashbisu is, says Rashi, don't assume that it means destroy. It's not the literal translation of the word. Torah doesn't say destroy the chametz. So therefore, Tashbisu could be fulfilled with a hashbasu b'lei. So I don't know, Zach, if this is what you were getting at, but maybe in a sense, Rashi's formulation maybe is a little workable with what you were saying, that kind of a din in the gavra, essentially. If I say to you, you know, give the donuts a rest for a while, you're saying basically you disconnect from it. You turn yourself off from the chametz. I'm not saying you got to destroy them. I'm not saying you got to burn them. I'm saying, you know, just hashbasu b'leiv. Turn yourself off from that. And this is consistent with Unklus and with the Rambam. Although we also saw that the Rambam was a little bit more complex, that the Rambam does match with Rashi at least on one level by saying that there's a mitzvah of Tashbisu. Right? This is the Rambam in the beginning of the second parakach on Mitzvah Matzah, that there's a mitzvah of Tashbisu. And that Tashbisu includes Bittul. What was a little bit murky was that there were two nuschos in the Rambam. And one nuschos that said that it depends what we're talking about. That if it's chametz yadua, then it does mean indeed you got to destroy that. So it's not, this version of the Rambam is not consistent with Rashi's whole formulation. Because chametz you know about, you have to destroy. But that same mitzvah Tashbisu would also mean that chametz you don't know about, yes, Bittul is the kiyum of Tashbisu for that. So how could one pasuk mean two different things? Mean sometimes destroy and sometimes just disconnect? How can one pasuk be interpreted in two different ways? So the Kesef Mishnah explains that it could be that this is example of Maser HaKosev L'Chachamim, like we saw most prominently by Malach and Chalamoy, that the Torah left it up to the rabbis to determine how to fulfill its commandment. So we have this commandment of Tashbisu, and what that's going to mean practically was up to the rabbis to determine. So what they determined was when the chametz is known, then it means bittul, like Rashi. Sorry, I said that backwards. When the chametz is not known, it means bittul, like Rashi. When the chametz is known, then indeed it means more than Rashi, it means to actually destroy it. That was all according to one nusach of the Rambam, which many of the Achronim accepted that as the actual nusach of the Rambam. But we also saw that the Kesef Mishnah himself, after giving that explanation that we just said, but then the Kesef Mishnah says, but he thinks it doesn't matter because he thinks that's not really what the Rambam said, that's the wrong nusach. And that in practice, it's closer to Rashi, more totally, that both Chametz Yaduah and Chametz Sheni Yaduah Bittul works. So Bittul then is the fulfillment of Tashbisu across the board, like Rashi said. Okay, everyone with me so far? So that's one view, that it means Hashbasu B'Leiv, i.e. it means Bittul. Bittul is Hashbasu B'Leiv and Tashbisu means Bittul. They're all the same thing. And according to Tosfos on our daf, it's not true. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi and says, no, they're two different things. That Bittul is Hefker. And we dealt, when talking about Bittul, all of the complexities of that issue. And Tashbisu is actually destroying the Chametz. What we also call Biur Chametz. So the practicalities of what Hashbasa is on a very basic level, Machlokas HaRishon. And of course, there are more views to talk about, but just to begin with, that's on one level a basic Machlokas Rishonim, what it is. Now, to keep things clear, it's the same Rishonim and the same sentences which were Machlokas we were talking about last week. And we're talking about Bittul, it's the same Rishonim and the same positions, but they're focusing on a different point. So one question is, what does Bittul mean? According to Rashi, Hashbasa B'Leiv, according to Tosfos, Hefker. And these same Rishonim are also discussing, what is the mitzvah of Tashbisu? According to Rashi, it's Bittul, the Hashbasa B'Leiv. And according to Tosfos, no, it's something else. Bittul is something else, and Tashbisu is something else. Okay, so far so good. Fine. So that's another major issue to try to understand what Bittul, what Tashbisu is it Bittul, is it something else, and what is it practically speaking? So that presumably is connected to a broader conceptual question. What is the point of Tashbisu? What's the message of Tashbisu? So what possibilities are there? And so we could say that it's just there to address an existing din, the din of Bayira Bayimatze. And whatever Bayira Bayimatze is about, that's what Tashbisu is about. Or we could say that, no, they're independent of each other. That you have a mitzvah not to have chametz, but separate and apart from that din, there's also a mitzvah to engage in tashbisu. So, why would you say the second way? If it's not just there for saving us from Bayira Bayimatze, or to reinforce Bayira Bayimatze, but it exists by itself, why would that be? Why should there be a affirmative, independent value of Tashbisu? You have any thoughts? Ari?
Well, maybe my farmers aren't good if they're turning directly to hummus being like Heath Sahara, but if what? We say that the hummus are just like, you know, actual manifestations of the Heath Sahara, like you would want to like destroy it in its entirety. And the pasuk when it says tashbitu or batechem hummus, right, linking tashbitu through achila, that doesn't prevent the, you know, take away from the fact that you still have Heath Sahara remnants in your household. You should actively pursue their destruction, even if you're not eating them.
Okay, so symbolically, right, it's possible to say that if, and speaking Tamei HaMitzvos-wise here, that if we say, let's say if we start with the premise that Chametz is bad, right, why is Chametz bad? So it's a good question. Does it represent the Yetzer Hara, as the Gemara in Brachos indicates, and many Rishonim, and prominently the Rabbis, others picked up on? As I was mentioning, I don't know why I said as far as it might be bad for that reason. That's certainly an attitude that we find. So if you want to say Chametz is bad, so how do we relate to that badness? Maybe that's the question. So is it enough to relate to it just by avoiding it, just by don't have any of this around? Or maybe, Tamei HaMitzvos-wise, does the Torah want more from us? Does the Torah want not only avoidance of this problematic substance, but to actively engage in a war against it? Right, which echoes a little bit what we saw in terms of Bedikas Chametz, that Bedika versus Bittel itself was maybe a parallel kind of question, that maybe is there an advantage of Bedika on top of Bittel, because Bittel is relatively passive while Bedika is more active. But here, to shift the whole thing over, Bedika is the relatively passive version of Tashbisu, but Tashbisu itself maybe is the more active version of Bayirah Bayimatze. Bayirah Bayimatze is important, definitely don't have it around, but Tashbisu takes a step further. Not only don't have it around, but there is something to be said for actively confronting it and fighting it. And maybe that's a little bit the issue. Maybe?
Isn't there sort of a separate issue of having chametz in your possession before, like, if you're shuffling the carbon pizza?
Yes. Yes, and how exactly that relates?
Does the tashbisu fit into that somehow? Because I don't think it's punishable by kari.
Correct.
Is it like that kari starts after shkia or whatever? But,
right. Eating chametz.
Yeah.
Right. So your point being just that if this is all just a support system to the issur of eating chametz, and that it's connected to its kares consequences, so then it's interesting that it extends beyond that. Is that so that's interesting. That's something we have to explore separately. You're putting something important on the table, and maybe I'll give you also some makaris look about this tomorrow. It's an interesting question that we do see from our Gemaras that there is also a prohibition not only of owning chametz on Pesach, but that there's a prohibition specifically of shchitas ha-Pesach al ha-chametz. Right? That when it comes to, when it comes time to shecht the carbon Pesach, which is happening before Pesach, we're also not allowed to be in possession of chametz at that time. So is that the same issur? Is it different? Should it be different bezman hazab because we're not involved in the carbon pesach? Do we have more latitude? So that's also a discussion actually to consider. And that's something we'll have to look at too. So thank you for bringing that point up. We have to see just how does that fit in. And are there maybe different versions of this issur? So, or are there different applications? So how exactly do we incorporate the element here of the prohibition of shchitas ha-chametz, shchitas ha-pesach al ha-chametz? Okay. So you could say, just to go back to the previous point for a second, and consistent with what Ari was starting, that we could say this is all just a string of negatives. Right? That chametz is bad. Chametz is bad, and therefore don't eat chametz on Pesach. But chametz is so bad, not only should you not eat chametz on Pesach, you shouldn't even have any chametz in your house that you might come to eat. And chametz is so bad that not only shouldn't you eat chametz on Pesach, but you shouldn't have any chametz in your house that you might come to eat. And if you possibly do have chametz in your house, then you better get rid of it. We'll tell you that with a separate mitzvah. But it's all basically one continuum of badness. Eating chametz bad, so owning chametz also bad, so actively destroy the chametz, you won't own it, so you won't eat it. Could all just be a string of that. What I found a little bit interesting, and there may be a lot bit interesting, and I'm not 100% sure what to do with. I didn't put this on your Makaris, but this is something you can look at in a pretty straightforward way. So, if you look at the Sefer HaChinuch, as we will mention soon, the Minchas Chinuch Mitzvah Test is going to be one of the major Achronish sources on this topic. But before we get to him, he's commenting on the Sefer HaChinuch. So the Sefer HaChinuch always tells you what mitzvahs are for. So the language of the Sefer HaChinuch is Mishor Shei Mitzvah Zu, this mitzvah of Hashpasos Chametz, Kidei Shenizkor Hanisim Shavim Mitzrayim, Shemo Kamo Shekosiv B'Karbin Pesach. And so what is the purpose of this mitzvah? Apparently, for some affirmative purpose, to remind you of what happened in Yetzias Mitzrayim and its miraculous nature. As I wrote in Karban Pesach. So you might say, yeah, okay, but Karban Pesach, it's interesting because I wouldn't necessarily think to compare them. Right? Karban Pesach, as Levi just brought up, so chametz and its hashbasa does connect to Karban Pesach, but as far as the mitzvah of Karban Pesach itself is concerned, so that I could totally see differently. Right? Karban Pesach is clearly an active ritual. Right? It's about getting up and doing something positive, meaning something active. And the idea that it reminds us of something and to commemorate something, all of that certainly is understandable. But avoiding chametz, which is essentially a negative, and especially if we want to say chametz is about the Yetzer Hara, so that would push us to say not necessarily the same thing. Karban Pesach has one goal. Remember Yetzias Mitzrayim and the miracles associated with it. And destroying chametz is about something else. It's about not having this symbolic Yetzer Hara around. So it's interesting to consider where to go with that. Now, the idea that Tashbisu is connected to Ba'yirah, Ba'yimatzeh, would you say that the Sefer HaChinuch is taking a different position with this statement? So what would you think? If I asked you, is Tashbisu just there to offset Ba'yirah, Ba'yimatzeh, and then I read you this line of the Sefer HaChinuch, what would you say?
Has nothing to do with that.
So that would be my initial thought also, except what would you maybe also ask yourself? Say, well, hold on a second, though. I got to find out what he thinks is the reason for Ba'yirah Ba'yimatzeh. All right, so on the surface, if I just read that one line, I would think that they're not really connected then. Right, that Ba'yirah, that maybe Ba'yirah, Ba'yimatzeh, is about avoiding something bad. But yet, we have a separate mitzvah of Tashbisu, because Tashbisu is an active fulfillment in order to remind us of the miracle. So if I just looked at that sentence in the Sefer HaChinuch in isolation, I might draw that conclusion, like Daniel is saying, that, okay, I'm not supposed to have chametz. Chametz is bad. It's like avodah zarah. Or it's like the Yetzer Hara. Or both. One or the other or both. Chametz, poison. Now you remember the Rabbaz had said that Mikra Adin, we shouldn't have chametz all year round. But the Torah had rachmanis in our digestive systems. It just made it a one-week thing. But as far as the concept is concerned, chametz bad, we should never have anything to do with it. Goat, full, Atkins, paleo, keto, low carb, the whole thing, no bread. Right? That's what the ideal would be, because chametz is inherently bad. So, if that's the case, it's not about remembering Pesach, per se. It's kind of maybe the other way around, right? That chametz is bad, and Pesach, like we explained it, we said a little differently than Rabbi's recall that we said that maybe the message of Chametz's Yetzirah theme is particularly relevant at the time of liberation. And that's how we narrowed it a little bit to be especially relevant to Pesach. But it's kind of the other way around still, right? That Chametz is bad, and Pesach is the time to remember how bad Chametz is. But the way the Chinuch is saying it here would be the other way around, that Pesach is good. And how do we remember Pesach? We remember Pesach through avoiding Chametz. But avoiding Chametz might say, okay, that's by Rabbi Matzeh, that maybe they could both coexist. Chametz is bad. Don't eat or possess Chametz because Chametz is bad. But also, positively, fight Chametz because that is part of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now, we have to fill in the space here. Right? So how is it related to Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim? Because of the Chipazon. Right? That because we had to leave quickly, and because we had to jump out of Mitzrayim, so we didn't have time to let our bread leaven. So matzah is a reminder of that experience, and chametz is the other half. So because of that, matzah yes, and chametz no, because chametz is the opposite of matzah. So we could have had two tracks. Chametz bad, all year round we should avoid it, especially Pesach. Matzah good, because matzah reminds us of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And Tashbisu is also a positive act to connect to that as well. Get rid of non-matzah to strengthen our remembrance of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Okay, so far so good? So all of that I could have said. However, if you want to say that within the Sefer HaChinuch and say that, oh, the fact that he's saying it's got a positive value to remember the Nisan, it's not about Bayira Bayimotzeh. So let's look in Mitzvah Yid Aleph. He has the Yisr Shlo Yimatzei Chometz Pershus Hoseinu Kol Yimei HaPesach. And he writes there, for Bayirah Bayimatzei, so if you recall the Ran, the whole time we've been talking about, the Ran says Bayirah Bayimatzei to keep us from eating Chometz. Is that the same for Achinuch's position? Well, I don't know, because he says, Mishor Shehamitzvah Kedei Shenizkor La'olam Hanisim Shenas Ulana V'Yitzias Mitzrayim. Kamosha Kosov Vesaha Pesa. Viniskor Shiro Lanu Kenyan Zesh Mitoski Pazan Hayitsiya Afinu Haisos Matza. Kilyochulis Mameyad Shiachmis. So here the Sefer HaChinuch expresses that Yetzias Mitzrayim is tied into this haste, and therefore we have to remember that through eating matzah and avoiding chametz. And if that's the case, we have a prohibition to even own chametz on Pesach. So then, I know this is getting a little complicated, but it sounds like, according to the Sefer HaChinuch, we can restore the connection that Tashbisu is about Bayirah Bayimatze. They're both about a positive value, about remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim. So then, is Bayirah Bayimatze not about avoiding eating? Because it's about a positive value? So is that against the Ran? The Ran says it's to save us from eating chametz. And the Sefer HaChinuch says no, Bayirah Bayimatze, and Tashbisu also is all about something positive, about remembering the Exodus. Is that the case?
Why can't we just say it's both?
Okay, so what do you mean, that it's two separate things?
No, that fulfills both purposes, both to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim and also to get rid of the chametz.
It could be, and I would have been happier with that if you just saw Bayirah Bayimatze and Tashbisu as two separate things. Right, so Bayirah Bayimatze is about to save us from eating chametz. And Tashbisu is there as a strengthening of the remembering of the name. But it happens to be that the Chinuch seems to say they're both the same thing, that Bayirah Bayimatze is also about strengthening the eating of the, strengthening the eating of matzah and remembering the nes. So then the question is, does that mean that Bayirah Bayimatze and Tashbisu are both separate from the issue of eating chametz?
Right. I mean, conceptually. The pasuk makes sense that Tashbisu would be both.
Okay.
So we see that there's that back in the middle of both of those ideas. So that's why I was thinking that.
It's interesting. It's also interesting if what the flow is there. So there's a lot of different ways to read it, but then the flow, okay, eat matzah. That's a good thing. Actively get rid of chametz. And if you eat chametz, you're in big trouble. So is it all one sentence?
Yeah, the ach is interesting.
It is interesting. It makes you happy, right? V'yisach sameach. So now, in terms of what is the reason, though, for not eating chametz, according to the Sefer Achim. So if you look at Mitzvah Yud Beis, Shol Echol Mikol Davar Sheyesh Bo Chametz. So here he writes, Mishor Shei Mitzvah Zu, what's the reason? Drum roll, please. Masher kasavnu b'so'or. V'ulam l'chazek adavar b'libeinu v'chikosnu ha'tor mimenu kol kach. So it's the same concept we have as so'or, but to make it stronger, the Torah really pushed us away from it. So what exactly is the pushing away? Right? Pushing away from a positive value of strengthening matzah by avoiding chametz, and therefore don't even eat chametz. Now he says, Masher kasavnu b'so'or. What did he write by so'or? So the footnotes here on the Sefer HaChinuch says Mitzvah Yud Aleph. What is Mitzvah Yud Aleph? That's back to what we saw, Bayirah Bayimatze. That's what the footnotes assume he's talking about. So then it all comes back to remembering the Nisim. So, to sum up, that was quite a ride. But to sum up, according to the Sefer HaChinuch, not eating chametz, Bayirah Bayimatze, Tashbisu. Three different dinim, three different mitzvahs. But they're all there for the same purpose. But none of them necessarily are chametz bad. It's all about matzah good. And matzah is what reminds us of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And we strengthen the focus on matzah by prohibiting chametz. And we strengthen that prohibition by not even having any. And we strengthen not having any by destroying it or putting it to rest. But it all flows from the initial value of remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim. Which, and I don't know if anyone called attention to this, but you see it's a whole different direction than we've seen before, because the attitude of the Radbaz and others that Chametz is bad and should have been bad all year long, it doesn't necessarily match up with what we're seeing here from the Sefer Achinuch, that this is all a strengthening of the importance of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So that itself, I think it leaves us with some very interesting things to consider. Harry?
I mean, can we still interpret the Chinuch as saying that chametz are still bad? Because his lesson is that we don't eat chametz today to remember all these, like the symbolism of the matzah. So can you say that, interpret that as there's some incompatibility between having these chametz and the theme of the matzah? And therefore, to remove this incompatibility, we remove the chametz, and thus are left with the symbolism of the matzah.
Except that it's not what he says. I mean, it could be. And it leaves open a question, which he's not just addressing at all. I mean, it's not impossible. The question of why is matzah so integral to the experience? And just, we'll talk about it a little bit more. There's a Beis Halevi about this that maybe ties into this whole story. That Beis Halevi, you know, we learned Vayera last week, and 2 weeks ago we talked about the whole visit with the Malachim a little bit. The idea that it was Pesach then, long before there was the Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the Beis Halevi introduces the idea that we're backwards, that we think that we eat matzah to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. But Yetzias Mitzrayim happened the way it did in order to make matzah make sense. And that the mitzvah of matzah exists before Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is going to make your head explode. But which direction we're going in here is an interesting thing. But so far, from the chinuch itself, we don't see that at all. At least the quotes that we've seen so far. Right, that all we have here is a positive value to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. And remember that through matzah, and strengthen that remembrance by not eating chametz, and strengthen not eating chametz by not having any chametz, and strengthen not having any chametz by destroying it, that they're all for the same purpose. All of those share the same Tamei HaMitzvos. Daniel?
I'm just a little confused, because would anybody argue that the reason for doing all these mitzvos is to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim? Isn't that the whole point?
Well, no, some of the mitzvos for sure are about that. There's no question. The idea that Yetzias Mitzrayim is clearly a meta theme in our whole religion.
So I'm saying whether or not you hold that it's a negative mitzvah or a positive mitzvah, the whole point is because, you know, we went out of Mitzrayim and we have the chametz and we have matzah and, you know, and therefore we don't eat chametz. I mean, does anybody argue with that?
Well, yeah, on that, some of it, no, some of it you can't argue with, but we saw at the beginning of the year, right, that Shuvas HaRabbaz and others that say that chametz represents the Eitz Hara, and therefore all the chumra of chametz comes from it's a sirkaris and it's et cetera, et cetera. Right, you recall that language, we could look at it again, but it might be kedai to reread it.
Right, so granted that's the case, but even still the whole idea of it comes from Yetzias Mitzrayim in the first place, no?
Maybe not. And that's where we're maybe seeing some kind of circularity here. Maybe this is the original time loop science fiction story, and not the fiction part, but, you know, the idea of time loops being popular in science fiction, right? You can't figure out where the start or where the end is here. So there is some kind of a fascinating circle here. You know, what comes first? What's the chicken or the egg? Did Yetzias Mitzrayim happen the way it did because there's something inherently bad about leavened bread? There is symbolism of leavened bread that is incorporated into the Pesach experience? Or is it happened the way it did, and therefore we remember that through matzah, and chametz contradicts that and undermines that, so no chametz. So these could all go in a circle, but all we've seen from the Sefer HaChinuch, it seems to be just the Sefer HaChinuch's words, without speculating if there's more behind them, but just his words, it seemed to be different than the Rabbah's. Just to put it in the one-sentence version, the Rabbah says, chametz is bad, should be asur all year round, but can't handle it, so we just prohibit it 1 week a year. And the Sefer HaChinuch is telling us that we have to do everything to remember Pesach, and all our avoidance of chametz is also coming from that. So just to sum up before we run out of time, so what this opens the question for in a lumdish halachic sense is, so to what extent is Tashbisu tied into Bayira Bayimatsu? To what extent is it just a way of avoiding Bayira Bayimatze and reinforcing that prohibition? Or is it different than that, and that separate and apart from being free of chametz, there's also a positive mitzvah to go after it somehow, whether hashplas of a lave or actual destruction? And by the way, one question we didn't discuss, but just also to think about, is if you accept the view of Rashi and Unkelos and the Rambam that Tashbisu does not mean destroy, it means hashplas of a lave, so then is there still a mitzvah of bir chametz at something else? Does bir chametz still continue to be a prohibition, an obligation, separate from Tashbisu? And you could ask that question two ways, just to think about this also. So why do we have to destroy chametz? Do we have to destroy it because, even though that's not what Tashbisu is, but there's something else that tells us to do that? Or a different way of asking the question, according to those who say, like Tosus, that Tashbisu does mean destroy it, and that's the answer to the question, because we have to destroy chametz because that's what Tashbisu is, where do they get that from? How can you tell from the Pasuk that Tashbisu means destroy it? So that's another question to think about. So we'll pick up with this tomorrow. One other detail. I'm going to stop the recording for a second.